I saw a spider as I was setting up. I tried to kill it, and I don't know where it is. It's not under the slipper. I can't find the corpse anywhere. I just hope it's not in my work bag. Like, I don't know where the spider is. Welcome back to another episode of A Penny and a Peswa. I am your host, Ursula Imra. And yeah, I am back after missing the upload for last week. You would think that I gave myself enough time to record this episode ahead of time, but I didn't. Anyways, I'm back. We don't have like a reason for not uploading last week's episode aside from the fact that I was burnt out, and that is why running this podcast alone, even with the help of Joel, my wonderful graphic designer, we are burning ourselves out because we do have normal lives outside of this podcast. One day we hope that the podcast can be our entire lives, but until then, we gotta live normal lives too. So I was just really burnt out last week. I'm still burnt out, but I was really craving speaking to a microphone. So I need to get this episode out because I really wanted to. So that's why episode 6 is late. And on that note, you are listening to season 4, episode 6. This is Afrobeats in America part 2. So the last episode I uploaded was about Afrobeats in America and my experience with Afrobeats. And its importance in American culture and the culture of the diaspora. Since the last time I recorded, a lot has actually happened. I'm trying to remember if I recorded that episode before or after I went for Rema's show in Denver. I really don't remember, but in case I didn't say it, I went for Rema's show in Denver on the 31st of July. It was too late. It's almost a month later and I'm still thinking about that show. Rema is a good live performer. He said it's not a concert. He said it's a Rema party. And it really was. I really enjoyed myself. And even though I love, you know, my favorite musicians, and I love live shows, I'm very hesitant to go to concerts because I just don't like being in a space with like 10,000 people. But this was a smaller venue, and if I am going to go to a concert, I want to go shake some booty. And he did not lie. I really felt like I was at a party. It was lit. It was really lit. I really enjoyed myself. And that, we're getting straight into it today. I wasted your time last week, so I don't want to waste your time. I wasted your time last week because I didn't even give you an episode. So I don't want to waste your time this week. So we're getting straight into our conversation about Afrobeats in America. And since I'm talking about the Rema concert, let's talk about Afrobeats and African music and concerts in not only the US, but in other places. So on Sunday, I was just minding my business, you know, chilling, whatever. I go on YouTube and I see that Asake is having, you know, a concert at the O2 Arena in London, and it was being live streamed. I was like, okay, I did not know about this. Just because I've not really been paying attention to anything going on. So I started watching it, you know, and I will start with the positives. So one thing I will say about, you know, Afrobeats leaving the continent of Africa is that it gives we, those who live in the diaspora, an opportunity to listen to experience our favorite musicians, for other people to discover our favorite musicians. For example, with festivals like Lollapalooza and these European music festivals and Afro Nation, people who are not African, African Americans, people of Latina descent, even our good old, you know, white people, are having the opportunity to not only, you know, be introduced to Afrobeats or African music, but also experience it and understand what, you know, the Afrobeats experience is. I know this summer a lot of, you know, music festivals have been going on. I don't remember if it was last year or this year. Burna Boy performed at Coachella. King Promise performed at some music festivals in the DMV area this year. Rema performed at Lollapalooza, I think, this year. I could be wrong. And aside that, he had his North American tour. He's in Europe right now. Ashake is going to be in Brooklyn on the 8th of September. Rema is going to be at the O2 Arena in London. When? Sometime in September. Adekunle Gold is coming to Denver. Wizkid is coming to Denver. And you just have all these, like, African musicians being more accessible to people who don't live in the continent. And it's great. It's amazing. I want to say that's one of the benefits of Afrobeats infiltrating the American system, is that now these musicians, actually, aside from their African audience, they have a bigger audience they can perform for. So they have more of a reason to come to states and cities like Denver, Colorado, in the middle of the US, where you typically, a couple years ago, I don't think they would have ever thought of coming to Denver or going to certain places because their fan base just wasn't there. Now, that's not the case. That being said, we know that as a people, we have problems with organization and just getting our shit together. And this whole episode is not going to be like a rant about what we can do better as a Ghanaian, Nigerian music industry or like Africa. It's just, there's just a little rant. So for Rema's concert, we being me and my friend, we got there late. And even though we got there just about the time the gates had closed, we didn't miss anything. The show's supposed to start at 8. The first act came on at 8:30. Now, you could argue that the show started a little bit late. I want to think that this was very intentional on the part of Rema's team. But the DJ they picked, I don't know if they had different DJs at all his other locations, but the DJ who played at Rema's concert in Denver, DJ ENL, he was a performer before Crayon and Victoni came out. So in all actuality, in my opinion, I feel like the show started on time because we, as in the audience, me and my friend, were having a good time before 8 o'clock. When it hit 8 o'clock, DJ ENF really put his elbow into it and started dancing and entertaining the audience. By the time we realized, Crayon was on stage. After him, Victoni. And then about 9 o'clock, Rema came in. He performed for about 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes. That was such a good show. Oh my gosh. It was such a good show, but Rema came on around 9. And the show ended when they said it would end. And as someone who's, you know, no longer in college and a working woman, and it was the Monday night show, I was happy because I could get home and still get at least six hours of sleep and get to work in the morning. So Rema's show was very organized. It was very entertaining. There was nothing, you know, sketchy or chaotic. You know, VIP was doing VIP. Those, you know, who bought their tickets were able to scan their shit, and it just went so smoothly. And of course, the performance itself was amazeballs. Rema's connection with the audience, his communication with the audience was amazing. I mean, if you've been on social media and you're paying attention, you know that if you're going for a Rema concert, wear yellow. Wear yellow so they can have a good time. So that's Rema's concert. Now, on Asake's concert that I live streamed on YouTube, I'm very happy that even though Asake's career started relatively recently, in the last year or two, he's really blown up. I don't think this is his first time performing in a big stadium. He's really blown up. He's an amazing musician. I think Asake has a lot of potential, and he kind of reminds me, some people might fight me on this, of Fela Kuti a little bit, because of how rooted he is in making sure his music is part of his culture, is part of his music. That being said, when I started the live stream, Fireboy had just finished performing Scatter, and it was about, the live stream was about 2 hours in. I was like, did I miss like the show? Like, is it over or something? Because 2 hours, that's like a whole concert. But no, because immediately after Fireboy performed, Asake came on. The beginning of the concert was very what I expected, because Asake's music is not, he has songs that will make you get up and, you know, jump around and dance and all that. But especially on his recent album, Work of Art, a lot of his music is more almost soulful in nature. So he did a lot of sitting, he did a lot of calm singing. It was a very nice, calm vibe, which I personally think that at least first 30, 45 minutes of the show, if he did it in a smaller venue, it would have been so amazing. It would have felt like a very intimate. He should consider that. His team should come and see me. Yeah, I'm a creative director. Anyways, and then, you know, so the show went on, and then he brought on the person he sampled, Sunshine, on stage to sing. He brought on Olamide Tiwasavage and another musician who I did not know. I had to leave to go and see the Barbie movie, so I didn't watch the whole live stream. But I was there for the part where he just said he'd be back and then left, and then the live stream paused and I was like, and then he came back. That was very messy. But for Asake's concert, even though it was a great musical experience, I feel like as a performer, he needs to work on his connection with the audience. That's the main thing. He needs to work on his connection with the audience. Because he can perform, we all love his songs, but then it's not even because I wasn't there in person, he wasn't connecting with the audience. Because when I watched Burna Boy's Apple Music live concert, first of all, that thing was pre-recorded, it happened months ago, but I felt like I was there, it was happening currently in London, and I don't know, I just really felt like I was in the moment. And obviously for Rema's concert, I was there in person, so I really, you know, felt it. But with Asake, I just felt like there was a missing connection between he and the audience. The time when he left to go and change, that was very strange and abrupt, and I think that could have been handled better, because then people were just standing there. The band could have done something, the dancers could have done something, like he could have brought Fireboy out again. Like, it was just very dead, and you don't want that vibe in the concert, because then the audience's energy just dies and nobody wants that. Olamide and Tiwasavage, I was kind of disappointed in her, because she really barely even sang her lyrics. She just came on there, shook her booty a little bit, sang like two lines. She didn't even sing her part. She sang the chorus and then she left. Olamide, I don't know if their microphones were not working or something. Tiwa was out of breath. That's what she was doing. She was out of breath. Olamide, I don't know if his microphone was not working or something like that, but they both could have performed way better, in my opinion. In terms of experiencing Afrobeats in America, I think we have come a long way. we do still have a long way to go, and there are some universal things that we need to keep doing and some universal things that we need to fix. And I'm going to plug myself. If anyone on any musician's team wants to hire me as a creative director, I'm not going to lie, I don't have a lot on my portfolio to show for it, but I have the ideas. You can buy the ideas from me. Even if you don't want to hire me, buy my ideas. I have a lot of ideas. I'm a smart girl, so call me. Burna Boy was in the news for some controversial comments he made about Afrobeats having no substance, and that 90% of Afrobeats musicians, their lyrics are like vague. And I want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's true, but it's also not true. I truly see where he's coming from. I really do. But I see where he's coming from on the point of Afrobeats is music that, like, we just vibe to it. Like, there's no, it's for enjoyment. It's for vibing. If I'm trying to have a good time, I'm not out here trying to think about, you know, the oppression that my country's government is putting me through. I'm here to have a good time. So when Rama tells me that he see this fine girl for his party wearing yellow, or Rama tells me to make my booty bounce, I'm gonna do it because I'm here for a good time, not a long time. But I get his point, and this is where my point that I made in the last episode comes, where I feel like Afrobeats is a big umbrella that various genres fit under, and that's something that is recently coming to light. For example, Burna Boy said, and mind you, Burna Boy is like my favorite artist of all time. He's number one on my list of favorite artists. Like, I go crazy for Burna Boy. Burna Boy categorizes himself as an Afrofusion musician because he mixes African music with hip-hop, reggae, R&B, and dancehall. Fine. I feel like that Afrofusion is under the umbrella of Afrobeats. You can argue with me. I'm just trying to make it easier for you guys. Afrobeats is a big umbrella. We have musicians like, I can't even think of any musicians, but there are some musicians like Asake, who I would categorize him as almost alternative because he doesn't do traditional Afrobeats or, you know, high life music. It's alternative music. There are South African and East African musicians like Petit Noir and Bloody Civilian who are alternative. There's Nakane. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name properly, but he's an indie rock musician from South Africa. And he sings in his language. So I just feel like Afrobeats is more than just the Afrobeats of back in the day that we're used to. Now we have Afro Soul. For example, we have musicians like Asilfi, who's an Afro Soul musician. We have musicians like Bloody Civilian, Petit Noir. CK is like an Afro Soul musician. Petit Noir, Bloody Civilian, they're alternative. I would say Asake is alternative. Rema's on the border of alternative. And I would also say that Rema's Afrofusion as well. Especially now because he's really getting more into incorporating more music styles in his original sound. But there are so many Afrobeats, in quotes, musicians who are not actually Afrobeats musicians now. And just because you're African and you're a musician does not mean you do Afrobeats. And I think this is a problem that, it's not really a problem, it's a inconsistency that comes up when you are an African musician and your sound is mostly based in Africa, or you are based in Africa. For example, Sade, I want to say, is Nigerian or Nigerian American, but she's not. When you think about Afrobeat musicians, no one says Sade is an Afrobeat musician. She's like a soul or blues, I don't know what genre she sings. No one says she's like Afro soul, Afrofusion, and that's because she's not, you know, she's more established in the American music industry. She just isn't based in the continent of Africa, so, you know, it makes it easier for her to not be put under the umbrella of Afrobeats. But as soon as someone is African and sings and is based in Africa or whatever, immediately Afrobeats, which I think now the way music is shifting should start to change as well, because we're getting a lot of people example, we're becoming more exposed to different genres of music in Africa that is not Afrobeats. End of story. So after this short break, we will be talking about Afrobeats, American musicians, and remixes. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You didn't drive me crazy like chauffeur. I see you, I want to do you. No, no, girl, I want you, no, no. Make a roll my low, low. Make a clip on it, make a slide on it. I go make you pass out. Can I you go first, stop out. Make a roll my low, low. Make a clip on it, make a slide on it, no. I'm a little bit of a little bit of a little mama a go chop a like salad, like salad.
Back. Thank you so much for not leaving me during the break and coming back. We're gonna talk about Afrobeat songs and remixes. I literally, before I started recording this, I saw this tweet where this girl used this old Nollywood audio, but basically she was trying to say we had an Essence remix with Justin Bieber, which I completely forgot that was the one that even started all this remix nonsense. We had an Essence remix with Justin Bieber. And then you people, we said, okay, I didn't listen to that remix. I refused to listen to the Essence version with Justin Bieber. With any Afrobeat song that's good and has a remix with American musicians, I refuse to listen to it. The only one I will listen to is Calm Down featuring Selena Gomez, because that's actually a good one, you know. But Essence was already almost over. Like, when I say that people butchered that song and then Justin Bieber hopped on the remix, oh my goodness, Essence was almost overdone. Thank goodness it's a good song on its own. But anyways, you gave us Essence. We didn't say anything. We took it. You gave us, even Saw Saw has, Saw Saw Take My Pain. Even that one has a remix. We took it. Kulosa has a remix. I didn't listen to all these remixes. I didn't listen to them, by the way. But we took it. Calm Down. We took it. Ta, ta, ta. That one too, they did a remix with Jason Derulo, where he came from, and he came to hop on that song. I was even surprised when it came up on my playlist the other day.
We took it. Now, you want to tell us that, what, by force, this unavailable song,
that we've butchered the song, we've sung the songs. Hey,
Chessa, everybody's unavailable on this earth.
That one too, remix. Why?
I feel like one question I like to ask people is, do you think this remix is necessary? In my opinion, I personally think that not all of them are necessary. It seems that nowadays when a song is good, the default is to do a remix. It's like a trend now in the music industry. A lot of these remixes to me feel like they're being forced, because the song was good, great, even without, you know, Camila Cabello, Selena Gomez, Lado, Justin Bieber. The songs were great. That's why they were popular in the first place. Why do these people feel the need to hop on and create remixes? And I feel like, whatever, that's the music industry. You're going to get remixes on remixes on remixes. One song, this is just a caveat, it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. One song that I feel like was over remixed and overplayed and overdone was CK's Love One TT. They overdid that song after it hit on TikTok, and they should have just left it alone. But he made so many versions of so many iterations that the song even got like,
I'm not gonna lie, when the song comes on today,
also the version of his song that hit was the remix with Kitty and did it have Kitty, Kwame Eugene, and yeah, that's, and Joe Boy, was Joe, don't quote me, I don't remember who's on the remix. That's the version of the song that hit, not the original version. But after that remix, he shouldn't have done any more remixes. Anyways, I feel like all these American musicians hopping on these Afrobeat songs to make remixes, it's good and bad, because one, the African musicians are being pushed out to a different audience, obviously, which is good. They get to expand, you know, because everybody wants to be like Candy Burris. You know, I watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Everybody wants to be worldwide, baby. But to what extent does having an American musician on your song become a form of validation? Because at this rate, it's becoming, to me, it's starting to seem like a form of validation, and it's becoming, you know, it's starting to become like, oh, you know you've really made it when Justin Bieber does a remix on your African song. No, that shouldn't be the case. Your audience that you have that's growing naturally should be enough. And that's one thing that bothers me about American culture, is that it's almost like, even if something's great, is good or whatever, it always becomes like 10 times better and finally validated when there's an American touch to it. And no offense to like any of the musicians, it's just that, especially Latto, because she's a rapper and she's a woman, and female rappers already don't get the respect they deserve. But I feel like, you know, it's becoming a thing where remixes are a form of validation. This form of validation kind of diminishes the worth and value of African or Black audiences or fans, because if you blew up because you did a remix with Justin Bieber, or if your song blew up and now Jordan Woods, Kim Kardashian, they're playing it in their car, and before that you weren't like a mainstream American artist or like an artist, you know, infiltrating American sound waves, it's because of your art, your audience, and your fans in the continent of Africa and in the African diaspora that you reach that point. So we should be enough for you. Anyways, what do I know? I'm just a 24-year-old girl who likes to talk and has a podcast, so I say whatever I want. But anyways,
that's the end of the show.
This season, I'm keeping it short. That's the end of the show. I really have nothing more to say about...
Oh, wait. I forgot one more thing. So, last week, 2 Sundays ago, I went for the Dashiki Festival in Denver. I probably spoke about this last episode, probably not. I went to the Dashiki Festival in Denver. This is the 7th one. I never knew it was happening. I never
heard of it until this year.
And it was a good time.
It was a very fun show. Again, as with everything, there's room for improvement. But I feel like the fact that people actually traveled from out of state to come to Denver for this one-day festival, African festival, was really amazing, and I really look forward to seeing more of that. I feel like maybe it's because I'm really trying to like be in my community more, but I'm noticing more things that are African related or just like Black related in Colorado, and it makes me happy. It's great to know that there's like a Black community that's not just here and chilling, they're actually active. Not that I will go anywhere, because I'm always in my house anyways, but yeah, that was really nice. I wish I took like more notice of things. I could have said more, but I was just enjoying the moment. It was really fun, and 10 over 10 would go again next year. But that brings me to the end of this episode. I'm sorry I didn't upload an episode last week. I was burnt out. And I'm sorry this episode is going to be late. I'm still burnt out. It's going to come late Thursday night. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for supporting me. The season is almost coming to an end. And me and my slowly growing team, we're putting so much together for the break and the next season. So stay tuned, share with your friends, follow us on Instagram at penny_and_peswa. You can follow me on Instagram at ursula_imra. And yeah, let's have a good time. Stay up to date, you know? But I'm done talking. I just really feel like talking to the microphone. So we can end the show here. I will speak to you on the next episode. And stay safe. Stay out of trouble. Enjoy your life. Get on your Zoom in the morning. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of A Penny and a Peswa. Stay in the loop and join the conversation by following us on Instagram and Twitter at @penny_apeswa. All guest information can be found in the description of today's episode. You can listen to A Penny and a Peswa on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all podcast listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review of 5 stars. See you on the flip side. Useful gaze in my nigga, dark vibes gone like. Steady scheming for my hammer paper, big booty bitches in their high. Fuck high, but why moko don't like a joe or not? Oh man, moko ne bang my work or not? Oh man, moko ne bang my work or not? Oh Say, nigga, who you say was not about to come? I own the game, now I'm close to it. Ow. Gave a couple hoes rings, I didn't think it wasn't real, but I bet them hoes knew it. Hey. Flow always brewing. Yeah. I don't treat the shit like I'm shooing. I don't treat the shit like I just stopped all the chat about us. Other rappers on my level, even though I did do it. Yeah, 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 yeah. If it ain't no money, though, call me man. Talking about some other shit. Talking about some other shit. Placebo, placebo, I get it, hoes. Zero, who you fucking with? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Darko vibes, can't nothing yummy me. Then go play this shit for everywhere. I swear to my guys know they here. Yeah. Placebo.